God, right now, call him mighty, call him great, call him creator, call him redeemer, call him Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, 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 holy. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I so appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place. We, last week, were in a camp meeting and some tremendous moves of God. But I feel the Spirit of the Lord just as powerfully. Think about it, is when you feel him fresh, he just feels more powerful than he did the last time. But I want you to know the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. I so appreciate, you can go ahead and begin to turn your Bibles, Lord willing, to Romans chapter 6. We'll share a communion meditation this morning. I so appreciate the report I had of the good services. I heard some of Sunday evening service in the Denver airport waiting for a flight, and I could tell that the Lord was moving in the service. I appreciate that, and appreciate Brother Brian for filling in and helping out and preaching in those services that I was gone. I told my wife when I got home, I said, I've been in 11 services this week, and if just being in church saves, you ought to be saved. Praise the Lord. Got yesterday, trying to get to Denver, and then out of Denver, missed two flights because of the weather, and hundreds of people missing flights, and I was up at the desk, the customer service desk, and she said, I don't think I can get you home today. It's going to be sometime tomorrow. And before I caught myself like it would make a difference to her, I said, listen, ma'am, I'm a pastor. I got to be there by 10 o'clock. She goes, okay. I appreciate your prayers while we were gone. In a moment, we're going to pray over the preaching of the word. And when we do, let's pray for Asia. She had surgery on her eyes this week. And I just got a text a little bit ago during Sunday school from Jody and said her eyes are really giving her tremendous pain. And her vision, this is supposed to help. Her vision has been decreasing instead of increasing since the surgery. And so we want to remember Asia in prayer this morning. Good to see everyone. I was involved in worship, and I didn't get a chance to look the congregation over, but it's so good to see everyone. Grant's got his prayer partner, friend here. Good to have you. I'm so glad you're visiting this morning. And I saw the Sloan family again this week. Amen. We're just going to quit calling them guests. Just call them one of us here. And just good to see everyone. If I missed you, it's just because good to have Pat here again. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house with God's people? Okay. You'd rather be in the hospital, I see. Praise the Lord. Romans 6. Could you stand for the preaching or the reading of the word? I'll let you sit for the preaching, but if you'd stand for the reading. Okay. I want to excite you this morning from this verse, so I want to tell you even before I read it, we're going to get into some grammar. Now, how many of that just excites you? One person. Romans 6:23. You know, God's word is tremendous. I've quoted this all my life that I can remember. How many's quoted this all your life? As God began to speak to me through this, I saw things I'd never seen that were in this one verse. Won't you read it with me? It's just a short verse. You know it, but let's read it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and get in the grammar. I want you to notice right in the middle of that sentence, that declaration, is the word but. That is a conjunction. It's right there. This two declarations in this sentence, and that it hinges, this sentence hinges right on that conjunction but. I want to preach this morning that the cross is the conjunction. The wages of sin is death, but the cross, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The cross is the conjunction. Father, help us in this service. Thank you for your Spirit. May your Spirit continue to move and grow in our hearts. Thank you for eternal truth, saving truth, life-changing truth of your word. Lord, I pray that if there's any here that does not know you, by the time the service is over, they'll know you. If there's anyone growing cold in their soul, they'd feel the passion for Christ to burn again in their hearts in this service. And Lord, in this communion, as we commemorate all you've done for us, God, help our hearts to warm within us and our faith to rise and our hope to build and our love to increase. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. The cross can be the conjunction of any life, like it's a conjunction in this sentence. Now, we use this conjunction too, but we usually put the negative after the conjunction. Have you ever been talking to someone and they'll call a person's name and say, you know, he's such a good guy. He's a great guy. Give you the shirt off his back. Do anything for you. Good family man. Good dad. Good husband. And then all of a sudden they say, but what do you know is coming? Something negative. But God in his word, after the conjunction but, he puts something positive. Have you ever thought about this? Could we go ahead and put, Brother Mike, put the text back on for a moment? Look at this sentence again. I want you to imagine with me if this sentence, this verse ended with death. If that's all we had from the word of God, for the wages of sin is death, and then it ended. That was it. Isn't that a horrible statement to live with? Wouldn't that be an inconceivably hard thing to face eternity when this sentence ended with the wages of sin is death? I want to ask you something else. Forget the sentence. What about your and my life? What if our lives ended with a period after death instead of a conjunction? What if for our lives the statement and the truth was the wages of sin is death? I'm starting getting excited about the grammar, aren't you? How many starting getting excited that there's a conjunction and not a period here? Wouldn't you agree with me? It would be awful prospects if it just ended for the wages of sin is death. It'd be kind of like Thomas Jefferson's Bible. He didn't believe in the supernatural or divine, so he took the Gospels and he edited out every reference to Christ's deity, every reference to Christ's miracles, every reference to anything supernatural. And here's how Thomas Jefferson's Bible ended. Now in the place where he was crucified, in the garden where he was crucified, there was a sepulcher in which never a man yet lay. There lay they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. And the gospel ends. Isn't that a dismal way? What if the gospel ended there? And what if this was all there was to it, for the wages of sin is death, period? I'm getting more excited about that conjunction, aren't you? Hallelujah. But it doesn't end with the period, for the wages of sin is death. There comes a conjunction, but, hallelujah, the wages of sin of death is death, but. Oh, come on, anyone excited about the conjunction this morning? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because the conjunction's in the sentence, the conjunction can be in any person's life. They can be headed to death, headed to destruction, but they can discover the gift of God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to make note, you are worshiping God over a conjunction. Hallelujah. But the gift of God, I thank God for that. Because the difference and the thing that moves both this verse and our lives from death to life is that conjunction but. And what is it? That's why I said the cross is a conjunction. What's in that conjunction but? The only thing, if the conjunction moves from death to life, the only thing that can move us from death to life is a trip to the cross. How many would agree this morning? The only way to get from death to life is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so the cross is this conjunction. Hallelujah. And so, no, we weren't too excited about when I talked about grammar. I mean, that brought back visions of ninth grade and dangling participles and exams and tests. And I know it turns people off when you talk about grammar. But what I want to make so clear here is when God chose to share his word with us, he did so with words and grammar. And they may not excite folks, but I think the grammar's important too. I'm not going to give you a grammar lesson, but grammar's important. One man said, whenever you read the word therefore in Scripture, find out why therefore is therefore. Right? And this conjunction, why is it here for? Because the kind of conjunction it is but indicates that what follows it is in complete contrast from what came before it. Kind of sounds like a lot of folks' lives. That's why I'm saying the cross is a conjunction. Because their life after the cross is in complete contrast to what their life was before the cross. How many can testify to that? How many would just go ahead and believe me when I tell you the cross is that conjunction but? Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Even what comes after the conjunction is completely opposite of what came before the conjunction. Hallelujah. The cross is a conjunction, and in that word but is the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. In that conjunction but is hope and joy and love. In that conjunction but is a change of life. Hallelujah. Look, go ahead and just keep looking at the verse. Look how different it is on one side compared to the other. We see this death on one side, but eternal life. We could go ahead and continue with that. Dark on one side, but light. Hopelessness on one side, but hope. Lack of peace on one side, but peace. We could go on and on. Sin on one side, but forgiveness. Amen. Hell on one side, but heaven on the other. I'm telling you, the conjunction is the cross. It's completely different when you've been to the cross. You leave that kind of life and you enter into a whole new way of living. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The cross was a conjunction for Christ himself. On this side of the cross for Christ was pain and rejection and suffering and death. But on the other side of the cross for Christ was joy and victory and resurrection. Who for the joy that was on the other side of the but endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad you've been to the cross? How many members when the cross was the conjunction of your life? Your life had been this, but the conjunction, but the cross, now your life's something different. Brother Cruz, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. How many just say it one more time? Amen. My life after the cross was completely different than my life before the cross. Hallelujah. And so I want to emphasize the conjunction is not an assumption. The conjunction is not an assumption. An assumption is something you don't know is true or not. You just assume or you want to believe that it's true. The very grammar of this sentence, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the grammar of the sentence, amen, this is stated as a declaration. It's a declaration. The statement with this conjunction is a factual declaration. declaration of the way things are and will be. And so I want you to look at this. And these are not assumptions. These are facts. Number one, for the wages of sin is death. That's not what someone is supposing or making up or assuming. That is a fact. The wages of sin is death. This is one of the things I thought I knew what it meant till I really got to studying it. And here's what it really means. Why does it talk about the wages of sin? Because the Bible, the Old Testament, the Bible of the time, made clear, it emphasized very strongly in the Old Testament law that if you had someone that labored for you, they were not to leave that day till you paid them. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And so the wage of the laborer is something that the laborer, the worker, deserves. The wage is what that worker deserves for the work that he has done. And in that context, the wages of sin, amen, if the wage is something the labor deserves, then sin or death is what sin deserves. And so the wages of sin is death because sin deserves death. How many could agree with me? Sin deserves death. I don't care if it's my life, your life, humankind in generally, amen, sin deserves death. Everyone sins, for they all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since everybody sins, everybody deserves death. That's why he had to die. He was meeting the requirements of what we deserve. You know, in the Bible, it talks about leprosy as a type of sin. And I'm not going to try to rewrite the Bible, but I'm convinced if the Bible had been written in our times, it would have used the word cancer. Isn't cancer a horrible thing? The destruction, the pain, the taking of lives, the devastation. I'm telling you, sin is an awful thing. And it deserves death. That's not an assumption. It's true, not just of humankind, it's true of you and I. It doesn't matter who we are, what our name is, what our nationality, what time period we've lived in, what family we've been born into, what neighborhood. The fact of the matter is, the wages of sin is death. Death deserves, or sin deserves death, and sin will ultimately always receive death. Not just eternal death, the second death of the lake of fire, but death of our mind, death of our emotions, death of our relations with people, death of our connection with God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you've never heard about Jesus or you've been in church and raised in a Christian home. It will not change this fact. The wages of sin is death. You say, well, I've been raised in church. I can go out and do those things of the world. I can sin and I'll get away with it. No, sir. The wages of sin his death. It'll bring death into a marriage. It'll bring death into a home. It'll bring death into your life. It'll bring death into your spiritual being. The wages of sin. That's fact number one. That is not an assumption. Fact number two is a conjunction. But that's not an assumption either. Amen. There is something in this sentence as we've been preaching that changes what has come before. It's that conjunction. Amen. I believe that every Christian ought to have a conjunction, or has had a conjunction moment at the cross. That word, that conjunction, but is real. And what I'm trying to say, it's not just assumed that there is something that can make a difference. There is something that can make the difference. Wherever your life, whatever your life has come to, wherever you've come to, I mean, however bad it is not an assumption that there can be this conjunction in your life. If you'll come to the cross, amen, you can have that experience. You see, this conjunction is explained by the words through. If you'll go back to the text, Brother Mike, through Jesus Christ. That is a conjunction right there. It tells us that is a conjunction. This gift that we receive, it comes through Jesus. It comes through his death, burial, and resurrection. That is not an assumption. That is a fact. Jesus died for our sins, and he rose again for our justifications. and that through Jesus Christ. And then there is eternal life. The last fact in this verse, just leave the verse there. The last fact of this verse is the gift of God is eternal life. As sure as it's a fact that the wages of sin is death, it is also a fact that the gift of God is eternal life. I'm not assuming anything when I tell a person, you may be dead in sin, but Jesus can give you life. I'm not assuming anything when I tell them you don't work for this. It's not crawling across broken glass. It's not saying a bunch of prayers. Amen. We receive this life as the gift of God when we believe in Him. How many knows that's a fact? That's a fact. Oh, I like the word here, gift. That means it's free to us. But that doesn't mean it didn't cost anything. Our church is a giving church. But if I went out and I brought a gift to Brother Mark, had it all wrapped up, because it's a gift, he's not going to get any money out of his pocket and try to pay me for it. I say, no, this is a gift. It's free to him. But one of the reasons he's appreciative is because he knows, because it was free to him, it cost me something. You know, people get all carried up with that gift stuff and say, it's free, it's free, it's free, it's free, it's free. Yes, sir, it is free to us, but it cost him everything. It cost him his life. And so when we say the gift of God is eternal life, we're shouting hallelujah. It's not by works, it's by faith. Thank God he just gives it to us. But at the same time, we're shouting that, thank God it's free. Amen. We're thanking God with gratitude that he paid the ultimate cost and the ultimate sacrifice in order that he could hand us the gift. Those are not assumptions. Those are truths. And then the conjunction is a compunction. It's a compunction, amen, to get away from death, to get to this eternal life. The compunction ought to be to get to the cross, because the cross is the only way to come from death to life. If you've not yet surrendered to Christ and you're in this service, there ought to be a compunction. There ought to be an anxiety in your heart. There ought to be a driving distress. That's what a compunction is, a driving distress that would drive you to the cross. And this compunction says, I must get out of this death, and by I must get to the cross so that I can get to that eternal life. Even it ought not to be something you have to sell people on or try to convince them that they need. They ought to recognize that their life is headed to death and destruction, and there ought to be a compunction in their heart that said, I must get to the cross. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. A writer back in the 50s, grace means you're in a different universe from where you've been stuck when you had absolutely no way to get there on your own. I'm telling you, when you hear the preaching of the cross, it ought to be such a joy to your heart to think that there's that conjunction that can move you from death to life, that nobody ought to have to beg you to pray. You ought to be saying, when can I pray? Somebody tell me more about how to pray. I want to get to the cross that my life can pass from death unto life. And last of all this morning, the conjunction is a junction. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Two different paths on either side of this conjunction. But you see, when you hear the preaching of the cross, you are faced with a junction in your life. You can say yes to that preaching of salvation and your life can change, or you can barrel on in your own self-will and self-way to the certain death, the wages of sin. How many realizes every time the gospel preaches, souls are at a junction? The preaching of the cross. At the cross, you can escape the wages of sin, the death. Your road can take a completely different turn, a 180-degree turn. Your life up to this point could have been of sin and darkness and death and destruction. But at the cross, your life can change. A junction. I believe that I'm preaching that way. I don't know if there's anyone lost in the building, but I'm preaching this morning. And I want you to know I'm preaching that the cross is the only way from death to life. And if you're here and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you're at a junction this morning. But thank God there is such a junction. How many was on the road to destruction? What if there'd been no exit? What if the road hadn't come to a place of decision, Christ or not Christ? Aren't you glad He provides a junction to our life? Hallelujah. The cross can be the crossover from death to life. Hallelujah. I like the way it says in Ephesians. I don't know if I gave you that, Brother Mike, but that at that time, listen, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus. I read right over, but how many caught the conjunction there? Let me read that again. Having no hope without God in the world. Have you been there? Let's end that statement right there. You like that? How many likes it? Having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. There it is again. The conjunction is the cross. You were without God, far off from God, but you're made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Just like you could stop reading this verse at death, and you can. You could close your Bible right there. You could tune out the message right there. For the wages of sin is death. You could quit reading right there. But you don't have to quit reading right there. You can keep on reading. But the gift of God is eternal life. But just like you could quit reading right there. Amen. You could turn off the message right there. You could hear preaching about sin. Your problem is sin. Your trouble is sin. And so I've had enough of that negative stuff. I'm out of here. Amen. You can do that. But you don't have to let it in right there for your life. You can move. I don't care who you are, what your name is. You can say, yes, sin is death. And it has been death in my life. But praise God, because of the cross, I'm going to keep on going. And He's going to give me eternal life. Whosoever will. Hallelujah. Oh, I said, praise the Lord. How many knows that conjunction's there? Lord willing, as we close the communion service, we'll sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I want you to listen for the conjunction. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I want you to lift your hands and thank God for the conjunction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to scare you because this will take about 30 seconds, but I thought I was through. When I talked about the conjunction here being not an assumption, the conjunction being the compunction, and the conjunction being a junction, I thought I was through. But it just hit me. I want to talk to the believers for a moment. This conjunction ought to be our unction. There ought to be something that comes all over us when we realize, yes, they're out there steeped in death and their lives are ruined and wrecked by sin, but there ought to come an unction over us. But, hallelujah, I've got to tell them that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you come, music? Someone's singing, I believe. If you don't hurry, I'll sing. I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever heard somebody testifying and you kept waiting for the conjunction? Never had a worse day. Devil's been after me all day. I'm depressed, been depressed all day. I've had this problem, I've had that problem. Something wrong with the kids, something wrong with the car, something wrong with the house, something wrong with the refrigerator, something wrong with the lawnmower. and you're waiting and you're waiting for them to get to the place. But I went to the back bedroom, got along with God, and heaven came down. How many's ever found yourself waiting for the conjunction and some testimonies? How many's ever found yourself waiting for the conjunction and some preaching? You know, instead of giving up hope on some folks, we ought to just be waiting for the conjunction in their life. They're out in sin. Their lives are messed up. But we're just waiting for that conjunction. But the Spirit of the Lord dealt with them. But they came to church and said yes to the preaching. But they came to the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Does there need to be a conjunction in your life? Are you tired of the way your life is right now? I want to tell you, I've been talking about from sin, an unbeliever to believer, but I'm telling you, there are many times those of us that have come to Christ, we still need conjunctions in our life. It might go like this. I started growing cold. The things of God started meaning little to me. I found myself drifting and moving away from God. But on October 7, 2012, in a communion service, but in that service, God began to deal with me, and I began to reach out to God, and suddenly He built a new fire in my heart to be a follower. How many know sometimes we as believers, we need a conjunction in our life? I'll take that. Thank you. I want to encourage this morning. It's a communion service, but right in the middle of communion, there can be a conjunction in your life. Amen. As the servers come, I want you to worship the Lord one more time. Would you worship Him across the building? Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him. If that conjunction has been in your life, worship Him. I'm telling you, the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to, as the servers are coming, if you're here and you've not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, at any time, you can come to these altars during or after communion, and there'll be folks that'll pray with you, and you can have that conjunction in your life. We have some new that are amongst us, and I just want to say we invite everyone that has had a born-again experience to partake of communion with us. You may have smaller children, and if you as parents have talked with them and ascertained that they have trusted Christ and that's your wish as parents, we let children partake of communion. We just ask that everyone wait till everyone has been served, and then we'll partake together. Amen. I think it was last time, not this, but do we have anyone that got, has been saved, and this will be your first communion this Sunday? Anyone? It was true last time. I don't know if it's true this time or not. That always thrills my heart when it's someone's first time to take communion. Amen. It means so much. Let God talk to you about communion as we serve.
A soul scattered on the floor. That's the way my life was when you walked through the door. Then one by one, you put the pieces back in place. That must be what they call a searching out my darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from you. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. To me and through darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from view. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. I must admit, I was afraid when you walked in, but my fears all vanished when I heard you call me friend. While reaching out to you, I saw your wounds and your scars. Then I knew just what you came here for. For you came to me, and through me, your eyes were searching out my darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from view. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. Searching out my darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from view. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. Life was when you walked through the door. Then one by one, you put the pieces back in place. That must be what they call amazing grace. Oh, you came to me, and through me, your eyes were searching out my darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from view. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. When I heard you call me friend, while reaching out to you, I saw your wounds and your scars. Then I knew just what you came here for. You came to me, and through me, your eyes were searching out my darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from view. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. Searching out my darkest feelings, revealing the wounds of past regret that I had hidden from view. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do. revealing the wounds, the past regret that I had hidden from you. But you made everything new, and I'm amazed at what amazing grace can do.
I appreciate Brother Mike leaving the verse on the wall. I want us to believe as we partake of this communion, we hold the emblems of that conjunction, the cross. Right here is the difference between death and life. I'm talking about in symbol.
Yes.
In symbol. Amen. His blood, his body, his death, and his resurrection. Could you stand together? We have unleavened bread. He was without sin. He took the death for our sin. Amen. Brother Jim Helfenstein, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread this morning? Amen. Thank you. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What washed away your sins? The blood. Amen. Brother Cecil Cope, could you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Yes. Amen. Let's partake together. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Praise the Lord. Patty Yenger left the service with heart pains. They're bringing the squads coming, so we're going to pray for her, and then be careful as you leave that we are able to detour around that activity. But let's pray for her right now, could you? Father, we pray that you lay your hand upon her right now. Whatever is wrong, Lord, that you would touch and heal and make it right. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We ask you to move and to work and to touch her, oh God. In the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Continue to pray. If you're here and you need Christ, we're going to be singing Amazing Grace, and it'll be a wonderful time for you to come, and there'll be folks to pray with you. Just say, I need that conjunction of my life. I want to move from death to life in Jesus Christ. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Are you glad for it?
Like me.
When we sing it, think about that conjunction right there. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but oh, let's sing praise God, praise God.
Praise God,
praise God,
praise God, praise God.
Maybe you're a believer, you need a conjunction in your life.
Praise God.
I don't like the way my heart's grown cold. I want to love Jesus afresh all over again. Praise God,
praise God,
praise God,
praise God,
praise God,
praise God.
Let's do that. Let's praise him across the building. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. There's been a change in me. I'm not the one I used to be. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I do this not as a part of a ritual, but it's because they did it in the New Testament when they had a communion. They used a term back then we're not real comfortable with, but they called it a love feast as well, because when they got finished, they made sure they showed their appreciation and love for their brothers and sisters. Before we leave here, as we close this communion, amen, would you just reach out to your brothers and sisters here in a moment? Tell them you love them. And be back tonight expecting great things from the Lord. Would you do that? Be back tonight. Greet one another, would you, in the Lord.